If you are having doubts about whether or not Jesus really did die and was resurrected, then it's very important for you to gain some clarity on that determination. I recommend you research and read on what's called the minimal facts argument for the resurrection of Christ. You can Google it or find a video here on YouTube. Even Paul taught that if Jesus wasn't raised from the dead, then the Christian faith is meaningless and a lie. So if you are having doubts about Christ's resurrection, then yes, study the evidence and decide for yourself. The minimal facts argument lays out all of the evidence that all scholars, even non-believing scholar historians, agree actually happened related to the claim that Jesus was resurrected. Remember, the Bible clearly teaches that faith is based on evidence. The Bible teaches that faith is the evidence of things not seen. Faith is not a blind trust. Faith is a decision to believe Jesus based on the evidence we have about him, about his life and resurrection. True faith does have room for areas of doubt. Not complete doubt, which is actually unbelief, but it has room for areas of doubt. The second recommendation I have is for the person who did have a strong faith, but suddenly finds themselves with huge doubts. And I would also recommend that this type of person would review the minimal facts argument for the resurrection. But I would also recommend following the example of Billy Graham and what he did when he had major doubts. I read Billy Graham's biography several years ago, and there was a time when Billy and his best friend and ministry partner, whose name was Charles Templeton, lost his faith. This is the ministry partner of Billy Graham, lost his faith and left the ministry completely. Graham said that he listened to his friend's skepticism and reasoning, and it caused Billy Graham to have major doubts too. And Billy Graham wrestled with this doubt for a little while. And then he just made a determination. He called out to God and told God, "From this day forward, I choose to believe what is in the Bible is your word, and that it's true, and that you are true." And that made all the difference in the lives of those two men from that day forward. It's actually a really sad story for Billy's friend who left the faith and died as an outspoken atheist, who even wrote a book against the idea of God shortly before he died. Have you ever been at a similar crossroads before? It does happen. For me, after reading about Graham's example years ago, his example really helped me just take my own stand and say, I'm not going to know all on this side of heaven. I won't have all the answers. But when you look at the evidence, there's enough evidence there to make a decision that this is true. At that time, I had a choice. You know, I could have gone back down the road of agnosticism. I think the thing was, I'd already been down that road and it wasn't fulfilling at all. And, or I could choose to follow God in decisive faith. And over 25 years ago, I did. I was in a period of doubt and I just chose the path of faith, and I've not had one day of regret for doing so. I had many days of regrets for my prodigal period, but I never had a day of regret for doing so. God has revealed himself to me since then, and that's all I need. You know, no opinions, no rationales, no skepticism can change my mind at this point. Because once you've had a true glimpse of God's work in your own life, it's all you want. So my first recommendation is to learn about the evidence of the resurrection through the minimal facts approach. And then second, my recommendation is to follow the example of Billy Graham. Make a conscious and finalized choice. Remember the song many of us sang as children? There does come a point when you do make a choice. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Remember that song? And remember the words from Joshua. Choose this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Because it's true. You're always serving something or someone's worldview. Again, you are always serving something or someone's worldview. You may think that you are just not taking a position at all and that you're just keeping an open mind, but you really aren't in neutral. Jesus taught that there is a wide road that leads to death and destruction, and it's the default road. If you're not choosing where you are, you're on the default road. And it's the road that most of the world's population is on just because they are following everyone else. And then there is a narrow road that leads to life and the fruits and the gifts of the Spirit. And Jesus says you have to find the narrow road, and it's work to find it, and you have to decide to walk down it and not turn back. And that's what makes all the difference. Finally, the next recommendation I have for dealing with doubt is to determine the underlying source of where the doubt is stemming from. Lee Strobel teaches that there are three main underlying sources of doubt within a person, and yours could be one of these or a combination. Doubt can be from the mind, from our emotions, are from our will or desires. If your doubt is coming from your mind or from your intellectual reasoning, then you may wish to talk to or consult a book written by someone who has gone through something similar, or to a Christian who specializes in discipling others through doubt. Lee Strobel is one who has written the Case for Christ books. C.S. Lewis's Mere Christianity is another. J. Warner Wallace is a former police detective that has a big ministry through books and an online ministry. Mike Lacona is another name, Frank Turek, and of course, the Christian philosopher William Lane Craig is another one you may want to look up. There are many more. Specifically, the book that helped me was Peter Kreef's book, The Handbook of Christian Apologetics is the title. It's written at a college level of vocabulary, but it addresses hundreds of areas of possible doubt. Everything from does God exist to did Jesus really resurrect to does God answer prayers? Were the miracles real? And all of it. I was in a season of doubt and I saw that book as I was checking out of a bookstore. And Kreef's book played a huge part in my decision that there was more than enough evidence to believe Jesus was who he said he was. There was more than enough evidence to go all in, because the evidence showed that Jesus was who he said he was, will do what he says he will do, and is still available to us today. Now, if your doubt is coming from emotion, it's actually your thoughts and emotions tied together that are causing the doubt. Using truths of scripture combined with cognitive behavioral strategies will be most helpful. And you may want to work with a Christian coach or counselor who specializes in Christian discipleship or mentoring to help you hold up what you are feeling against what God has revealed is true. This is the practice of taking captive our thoughts and their related emotions to Christ. And many churches also have free or very low-cost counseling to help disciple you during emotional crises that result in faith crises. Finally, if your doubt is coming from your will or from your desire to live in a way that you know or have been taught is outside of God's will and the best plan for you, when this type of doubter changes their mind, it's because they've met some sort of unwanted consequence related to their sinful choices. In fact, someone who is actively doubting for this reason probably wouldn't even be reading this post or listening to this. That person is actively staying away from God, staying away from hearing the word, staying away from other Christians as best as they can. The person's actually caught up in a spiritual battle, and typically they will need a consequence, a natural consequence of what they've chosen to do before they wake up. Many times, if this person had been a genuine believer, they usually will come back around. They will come back and repent and return to God. It may be very late in life. It may be in the last months in their life when they're facing eternity. This person will be saved if they return to God, even at the end of their life. The Bible talks about them being saved just barely, like through the flames of fire. If you know someone caught in this spiritual trap, the prayer to pray is that God arranges their life to bring that person back to Him sooner rather than later. And I talk about this type of doubter with deep respect and deep care, because this was the type of doubter I was. I've actually been through and wrestled through all three of these areas of doubt and have been able to work through them all. Well, the last one, I didn't work through it. I met consequences. So I've been through what I am sharing. So to sum up, with intellectual or logical doubt or with emotional doubt, there are ways to overcome that doubt by researching the evidence and making a decision based on the amount of evidence. Remember, the Bible tells us that faith is the evidence of things not seen. There is evidence. If the doubt is stemming from a desire to live in sin, then you probably aren't even reading this or listening to this anyway, unless you've recently experienced a major negative consequence and you are responding to that consequence by seeking the Lord again. But if someone who loves you, or if you have someone you love who is in that situation, then the solution that you have is to pray that God arranges the path of that loved one's life to lead back to Him sooner rather than later, but still within God's timing.